Let me ask you something before we go anywhere today. You call up approach control 10 miles out from a Class Charlie airport. You say your November number. You say where you are. You say what you want. And the controller keys up and says, aircraft calling approach, standby. Are you cleared to enter that airspace? Yes or no? If you hesitated even for a second, this segment is for you, because that one exchange trips up more student pilots, more rusty pilots, and honestly more pilots who should know better than almost anything else in the regulations. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are doing an airspace refresher, and we are zeroing in on one letter, Charlie Class Charlie Airspace, the rule that governs it, and the single most misunderstood phrase in all of airspace communication. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that, Private Pilot Instrument Commercial. They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. AviationSoul.com, go take a look. Okay, Class Charlie. Here's the picture. Class Charlie surrounds airports that are busy enough to have a radar approach control, but not so monstrously busy that they need the full Class Bravo treatment. Think your mid-sized regional airports, a city with airline service, some cargo operations, a healthy flight school, maybe a corporate ramp. Busy but human-scaled. On the sectional chart, Class Charlie shows up as two solid magenta rings, not blue, magenta. And there is a shape to it that I want you to hold in your head, because it explains almost everything about how the airspace works. The inner ring is a circle with a 5 nautical mile radius around the primary airport. That inner core goes from the surface all the way up to 4,000 feet above the airport elevation. Then there's an outer ring, sometimes people call it the shelf, with a 10 nautical mile radius. But that outer ring does not start at the ground. It starts at 1,200 feet above the airport and goes up to that same 4,000 foot ceiling. So if you sketch a cross section of it, it looks like an upside down wedding cake. A tall, skinny core in the middle and a wider, thinner layer floating on top of the ground around it. You can fly underneath that outer shelf without ever entering the Charlie. That matters, and we'll come back to it. Now, those exact numbers, 5 miles, 10 miles, 4,000 feet, 1,200 feet, those are the textbook dimensions. Real Class Charlie airspace gets carved and shaped to fit terrain and traffic flows, so always, always check the actual chart for the field you're flying to. The shape on paper is the truth. The picture in your head is just the starting point. Here's why any of this exists. The whole point of Class Charlie is separation and awareness. Inside that airspace, the radar controllers are providing service to everybody. They're sequencing the airliners, they're watching the little guys, and critically, they are providing traffic advisories and conflict resolution between the instrument traffic and the visual traffic. It's a managed environment. Everybody's talking, everybody's on the scope, and that is exactly why you can't just wander in. So let's talk about the rule. The regulation is Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 91, Section 130, 91-130. That's the section that spells out your operating requirements in Class Charlie. There are really three things Class Charlie asks of you, and I want to take them one at a time. First, an operable two-way radio. You need a radio that works, and you need to actually use it. Second, a transponder with altitude reporting mode, C, or these days ADS-B, out the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA wants to see you on that scope with your altitude tagged, both inside the Charlie and in all the airspace above it up to 10,000 feet. That's the transponder requirement, and it's non-negotiable in Charlie. And third, the big one, the one everybody gets wrong. Before you enter Class Charlie airspace, you must establish two-way radio communication with the controlling facility. Now read that carefully. It says establish two-way radio communication. It does not say get a clearance. It does not say the word cleared anywhere. And that distinction is the entire ballgame today. Here's something I wish someone had told me clearly when I was training, because I carried the confusion around for way too long class. Bravo and Class Charlie are not the same, and the difference lives in one phrase. In Class Bravo, that big wedding cake around the major metro airports, you need an actual clearance. The controller has to say the magic words, cleared into the Bravo. Until you hear cleared, you stay out. Full stop. We've talked about that before on this show. Class Charlie is different. In Charlie, you don't need to be cleared. You need two-way communication established, and the FAA has told us in plain language exactly what that means. So what counts as establishing communication? Here's the test, and this is the part I want you to tattoo on the back of your hand. You establish two-way radio communication the moment the controller reads back your call sign. That's it if you call up and say, Springfield Approach, Cessna 8342 Quebec. And the controller comes back with, Cessna 8342 Quebec, Springfield Approach, standby, you are now legally cleared to enter the class, Charlie. Even though she said standby. Because she said your call sign. She acknowledged you, specifically communication is established. Let me say that again, because it feels wrong the first time you hear it. If the controller says your call sign and then tells you to stand by, you may enter the airspace. The standby refers to further instructions or a squawk code. It does not undo the fact that she talked to you by name. Now, here's the flip side, and this is the one that keeps you legal on a busy day. If you call up and the controller says, aircraft calling Springfield Approach, standby, and does not say your call sign, you have not established communication. You must stay out of the class, Charlie. She acknowledged that somebody called. She did not acknowledge you. No call sign, no entry. So go back to my question from the top of the segment. Aircraft calling approach standby. Are you cleared in?
No, absolutely not. She never said your number. You hold outside that magenta ring, or you circle, or you slow down until she comes back and says your call sign. The second you hear Cessna 8342 Quebec, now you're in the club. That is the single most important practical thing in this entire segment. Listen for your call sign. Your call sign is the key that turns the lock. Let's make this real with a scenario, because that's how it actually sticks. You're on a cross country. Beautiful day VFR, you're cruising along at 5,500 feet, and your destination is a Class Charlie field. You've got the automated weather, the ATIS, pulled up. You listen to it, you've got the information code, you know the active runway and the altimeter setting. You're about 20 miles out, good pilots make that first call with a little room to spare because you never know how busy the frequency is going to be. You key up, Springfield Approach, Cessna 8342, Quebec, 20 miles northwest, 5,500, inbound for landing with information, Bravo. Nice and clean. You told them who you are, where you are, your altitude, your intentions, and that you have the current weather. Now you wait, and you listen. And here's where discipline matters. Do not descend into that airspace on a hope. You keep yourself outside the ring or above it until you hear the answer. Scenario A, controller comes back. Cessna 42 Quebec, Springfield Approach, Squawk 0412, ident. Boom. Call sign, communication established, you're in. You set your transponder and you fly the airplane. Easy day. Scenario B, it's slammed. Controller says Cessna 42 Quebec, standby. Call sign, standby. You are still legal to enter. Keep proceeding, keep listening, she'll get back to you with a squawk. Scenario C, total chaos on the frequency. Aircraft calling Springfield standby. No call sign. Now you've got a decision to make, and this is real airmanship. You do not bust the airspace. You slow down, you start to turn away. Maybe you enter a hold outside the ring, and you wait for your moment to call again, or for her to find you. You protect that boundary. That right there, that decision in Scenario C, that's the difference between a pilot who knows the rule and a pilot who just memorized a definition for a test. Now let me hit a few practical corners of Charlie that trip people up. Corner 1, that outer shelf. Remember, the outer ring starts at 1,200 feet above the airport, so there's airspace underneath it. If you're transiting the area and you stay below that shelf down in the Class Echo or Golf underneath, you're not in the Charlie and you don't have to talk to anybody. It's perfectly legal. But let me put my instructor hat on for a second. Just because it's legal doesn't make it smart. That sliver of airspace under the shelf is where a lot of traffic squeezes through. Low and fast, everybody funneling under the same layer. And you've got airliners descending on approach right above your head. Honestly, even when I don't have to talk to approach, I usually do. Flight following costs you nothing and it buys you another set of eyes on the radar. Take the help. Corner 2, leaving the airport. 91-130 also covers departures. If you take off from a satellite airport that sits inside the Class Charlie, or from the primary field itself, you've got to establish and maintain that two-way communication too. It's not just an arrival rule. Charlie wraps around your whole time in that airspace. Corner 3, equipment. If your radio quits or you never had the transponder, there's a process. You can call the controlling facility on the phone or by radio ahead of time and request a deviation, and they can authorize you in. It's in the reg. But that's a plan-ahead move, not a make-it-up-in-the-air move. Now, where does this show up on the practical test? Because a lot of you are training right now, and I don't want to waste your time. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, the document that governs your check ride, has an entire task on airspace. Under the pre-flight and navigation areas, you're expected to know the boundaries, the entry requirements, the equipment requirements, and the communication requirements for each class of airspace. Charlie is squarely in there. The examiner is looking for a few specific things. They want to hear you correctly say that Class Charlie requires two-way radio communication established, not a clearance. If you say you need a clearance to enter the Charlie, that's a red flag to a good examiner, because it tells them you've blended Bravo and Charlie together in your head. They want to hear, you know, the transponder and altitude reporting requirement, and on the cross-country planning task, they may well route you into or near a Class Charlie and watch how you plan your entry, what frequency you'd use when you'd make your first call. Here's the answer that makes an examiner nod. Something like, Class Charlie is two solid magenta rings. I need an operable two-way radio and a mode C or ADS-B transponder. Before I enter, I have to establish two-way communication, which happens the moment the controller says my call sign. If they just say aircraft calling, standby, without my call sign, I stay out. Say that calmly, and you have demonstrated exactly the understanding the standard is asking for, and where do you find that frequency to call in the first place? Right there on your sectional chart in the airport information or in the chart supplement, the approach control frequency is published. Have it dialed in and ready before you're 20 miles out, not fumbling for it while the airport's coming up on the nose. Let me leave you with the one thing to carry out to the airplane. In Class Charlie, your call sign is the key. Not a clearance, not a code word, just the sound of the controller saying your number back to you. When you hear it, the door is open. When you don't, the door is closed, no matter what else they say. Listen for your call sign. That regulation, 91-130, and the airspace descriptions live in Part 91 and in the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual. And the communication test I gave you comes straight out of the AIM's own language on Class Charlie service. If you want to go deeper, the airspace chapter of the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge lays out that upside-down wedding cake far better than I can with just my voice. You can find more from the show over at RadioHangar.com. Learning this stuff is hard, and airspace is one of those subjects that feels like a wall of magenta and blue until one day it just clicks. Today, I hope Charlie clicked. Go fly, listen for your number, and I'll catch you next time on the traffic pattern.